The day of Pentecost is in many ways the birth of the church. It's the mountaintop moment that we all look forward to and that we all seek to be a part of. When we think of church, we think of a church that's alive, that is filled by the Spirit of God, and that is active and present in the community. That church that we think of is often what we refer to as the Acts 2 church. That church that was growing, that church that was filled by God's Spirit, that church that was, well, let's be honest, we call it on fire for the Lord for a reason. The tongues of flames that set upon the heads of each of the people of God. The church that was on fire through the Spirit of God created a moment in time that has rarely been equaled, but the church has sought to reestablish this moment for over 2,000 years. Our problem is, as many times as we've seen the mountaintop, few of us live on the mountaintop. In fact, as soon as you get to the top, what's the old saying? There's nowhere to go but down. We all want to be here, healthy, thriving, powerfully driven by the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, we find ourselves preparing for the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, we find ourselves getting ready for the presence of the Holy Spirit in prayer, in fasting, in waiting. And let's be honest, folks, nobody likes waiting. This is a typical day in the Bellavia household today. As many of you know, my wife has suffered a foot injury, and she now is 6 to 8 weeks where she's unable to put any weight on her foot. We are waiting for her to heal. And there's nothing worse than waiting. We have spent our entire lives waiting on things. And if you've ever been in an emergency room, in a doctor's office, or heck, even going out to dinner, nowadays they give you a buzzer and they say, it's going to be a little bit of time. And you can go and do what you want, or you can sit and stare at each other, or you can do whatever, as long as you're in a particular area where that thing will buzz and go off. When I went for Betsy's surgery at St. Luke's Hospital, guess what they handed me? A buzzer. Okay? And my table was ready when it buzzed. We wait. And I hate waiting mainly because it's a waste of time. It wastes my time when I'm waiting. But then I started thinking about it. And the reality is that I don't really mind when my time gets wasted. You see, like a lot of other Americans, I spend a lot of time wasting my time. Most of our lives in 21st century America is spent wasting time, isn't it? How many of you can't wait to get home from work to watch TV? Is it just me? There's nothing better than wasting time. Tonight, there's going to be a great opportunity for all citizens of Ohio to waste their time and watch the Cavs play the Warriors tonight, right? Is that productive time? Or is it wasting time? We've just found new and improved ways of wasting time as a society. We entertain ourselves. And most of what we do in life is to entertain ourselves from one moment to the next moment. Entertainment without edification can be a waste of time, can't it? And we can discover that we've lived our entire lives wasting our time. A few years ago, they came out with a game called Trivia Pursuit. Do you remember that game? Do you still play it? Trivia Pursuit's one of those wonderful games where they mix real information with trivia, with information that really doesn't matter. You know, how many games, you know, did Joe DiMaggio have a hit in the major leagues? You know, trivia, stuff like that. Who's the last hitter that's hit 400 in the major leagues? What was the Beatles' first top number one hit? You probably know the answers to those questions. And maybe better than you understand the book of Habakkuk or the book that is quoted in Acts, Joel. If you know the information from trivia more than you know Scripture, then you might be like me, used to wasting time and gathering up information that might not be worthy. For instance, I happen to know who the bass player for the Scorpions was in 1984. The rock band. Yeah, that's a waste of precious gray matter in my brain. Yet I can't get rid of it. We know things that, frankly, don't really make sense to us. We spend our lifetimes gathering this information and waiting. So wasting time isn't the issue of waiting. The issue of waiting is that it's our time. And we want to do with our time what we want to do. The issue of waiting is an issue of obedience. When we're in a waiting room waiting for a doctor, we cannot imagine that the doctor has anyone better to see than us. Right? When we're at a restaurant waiting for a table, we wonder why people would be so difficult as to not leave the restaurant when we entered into it. You see, our impatience is really about selfishness. And that is something that we in the church have to deal with. Before Pentecost can come, before the Holy Spirit can work, the church has to be obedient to God and willing to wait and pray on the Spirit. There's something that occurred between last week and this week in the church. From the time of the Ascension to the time of Pentecost, the church gathered together and waited. They prayed, they fasted, and they prepared. Now, most people, they don't like to talk about that. In fact, the Scripture doesn't even share that much in the details of what happened when they waited. In the book of Acts, they actually say that when they waited, they ended up finding a replacement for Judas in that time. Right? They pulled in a guy by the name of Matthias to replace Judas. So all of the church was gathered, and they had basically the annual meeting for the church. Again, another thing that not a whole lot of people can't wait to do, right? The whole church gathered, discussing, debating, praying on what God can do next. Not the mountaintop moments, but days of praying and fasting and preparation. I love this one particular line. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, we all know that not all of us are together today. It's hard to get everyone together. Myself, my own family, we haven't been in the same room in a long time. When it comes to on July 1st in Georgia, I'm going to have all four of my boys in the same room at the same time for the first time for 18 months. As you get older, your family spreads out, doesn't it? And before you know it, even when you get to see them all, you don't get to see them all together, do you? It becomes more and more rare in those moments when the family is one. But here's the beautiful thing about Pentecost. The family was all together and they were one. And here's the other thing that was great. No one had their phone out. No one had a game to watch. No one had anything else to do, because in those days, no one had responsibilities, right? I'm wrong about that, aren't I? You see, we always have other things that are more important. We always have things that get in the way. There's always someone to bury or marry or deal with. There's always an emergency at work. That's not new in the 21st century. There's always a phone call to take or a message to receive or a task to accomplish. There's always a horse that's got a shoe that's slipped. There's always a cow that's giving birth to calves. There's always a field to be harvested or one to be planted. But the church on the day of Pentecost gathered together in one place and put aside everything else that was necessary, everything else that got in the way, in order to prepare for God's work. Now, most of us in today's world, we know that preparation is important. In fact, we know that in order to do well in an examination, you have to do what? What do you have to do? Kids in the back, you know. What do you have to do to get a good grade on a test? Shout it out. You got to study, okay? Prior preparation prevents poor performance. I was reading an article about LeBron James. And LeBron said that every morning he gets up and goes to the gym. He doesn't know what to do without getting up and going to the gym. It's what he's done his entire life. You don't look like LeBron James by sleeping in on Saturday. You get up every morning and you prepare your body. If you're going to shoot the basketball like Stephen Curry, then you shoot the basketball every day. You wake up and you go and you shoot. If you're going to be great, you need to prepare. Doctors study hard. They work hard. And they don't stop studying when they graduate. The last thing you want to do is see a doctor that hasn't hit a book since he graduated from medical school. Doctors need to be prepared. Preachers need to be prepared. Churches need to be prepared. You can't be used unless you're ready, unless you've prepared yourself, unless you have taken the time and had the focus to look at the task ahead and to meet the goals. Some of them are set by ourselves. Most of the ones that we focus on in today's world are goals of success. But the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about today is the fruit of patience. If you want your church to grow, if you want the body of Christ to spread across the world, then one of the things that we have to do as individuals, as well as corporately, is we have to gather together to pray and prepare for God to move. We, most of the time, are too impatient with our preparation. You see, preparation never ends. It always takes time. A few years ago, I was in seminary. It was more than a few years ago. It's a few decades ago now. But when I was in seminary, I was going through some personal difficulty in my life. And because of that personal difficulty, I was constantly in stress. And I was working harder, but not getting the same results. And I remember sitting down with one of my wise professors, one of my mentors, and saying, I'm working as hard as I've ever worked, but I'm not getting the same results. My work is suffering. And my mentor looked at me and he kind of chuckled and he said, Dan, of course your work is going to suffer. You're not taking the time to let your ideas marinate. You're not taking the time of waiting necessary. You got too much to do. You're running too fast. You're not taking the time to just sit and think and pray. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your spiritual life is running in a treadmill? that you're busy all the time, but there's no power that's there? You see, in order for you to have the real strength and power in your spiritual life, you have to have moments when you don't do anything. Jesus taught us that. Jesus disappeared for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he would come back, he'd raise the dead. But he had to then leave the mountaintop to do it. He found his way into the presence of God and got the strength in prayer and in waiting. Jesus was one who before the crucifixion went into the garden and fasted and prayed. He took his time and he prayed and he waited and he showed patience. There's a pattern that God is showing the church. And it's a pattern that we've looked at over the last several weeks since Easter time. And I want to remind you of this pattern. After church, after we celebrate communion, we're going to have an adult Sunday school class. We're going to look specifically at this pattern. But let me go quickly through it. On Good Friday, Jesus picked up a cross, carried it to Calvary, and died for our sins. God acted on Good Friday, and we received salvation. When Jesus rose from the dead, one of the first visits that he made was to Peter. And Peter, who had denied him three times, Jesus went to him and restored Peter back into the church. You know, grace wasn't received on the cross until it was received personally by the sinner. And when Peter received that grace from Jesus, when he accepted what Jesus was giving to him and found himself restored, that was when the work of the cross was made real for Peter. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and some people are being saved now because they have taken that grace upon themselves, a grace that was offered and has been there for years. But then Jesus, after walking with us and teaching the disciples, he ascended into heaven. We talked about that last week. In ascending into heaven, Jesus made sure that the church knew that the task of God was now in their hands. That Jesus wasn't gonna do the daily work, that we had to do it. It's a sad day and it's a difficult day when all of a sudden we realize that we're the people that are supposed to be in charge. Do anyone remember that day when you realized that you were the adult in the room? Adults, do you remember that time? Where all of a sudden, the teacher stepped out and you were the teacher? You know, I remember the first youth group meeting I led. I'm driving a group of kids in a van and I'm thinking, who made me the leader of this group? The last youth group meeting that I had been on, I was a kid in the back. Now I was driving in the front. It's a sobering moment when you realize you're in charge. And when Peter and John and James saw Jesus ascending into heaven, they knew that the job was now theirs to be the body of Christ on earth. And so what did they do? They prayed. They went into spiritual preparation like they'd never done before, like they'd never had before. Now those same men who fell asleep on the night Jesus was crucified were up all night in prayer. Those men who found that they got easily hungry when Jesus was fasting, they found a place where they can focus their attention because the responsibility was now in their hands. They took it seriously. They prayed. They fasted. They prepared. And then Pentecost came and God acted again. It's amazing when you look at this pattern of power, what you see is that God's actions surround our response. That God seeks us to prepare, but God is the one who acts. We can't be saved without God's action in Jesus Christ. And we can't receive the Holy Spirit without God sending it to us. We do not act on our own, but we prepare our lives for God's presence. And that is up to us. The teacher can teach, and share all the information, give you all the books, but if you don't take the time to study, if you don't work hard, you're not going to be able to meet the mark that they've set. The church has a role to play. We see the triumph, but sometimes we forget the work that's involved. I'm here to tell you this today because though we've oftentimes preached about Pentecost, though we pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit, we too easily divert our attention to something else. We find something more interesting to focus on. And before you know it, we see a squirrel, right, Ed? Ooh, squirrel. And we're distracted. We're entertained. I know this is terrible because I'm a Cavs fan, but this is Curry talking. And he says, success is not an accident. Success is actually a choice. If a basketball player knows that, then a preacher surely does as well. The work that we put in, the time that we spent, is not wasted time. Almost everything in our lives is wasted time, but prayer does not waste your time. Preparation does not waste your time. Scripture study does not waste your time. Sitting in a room with a friend holding their hand while they're going through a difficult period is not a waste of time. That's the kingdom of God in action. Every one of those things. Worship is not a waste of time. We have to reevaluate what Pentecost means in order for us to claim what Pentecost has done. The church then changed, and everything that they thought was important became unimportant. People started selling their possessions and giving them away so that they can help their neighbors. Wow. I thought attaining possessions was all that we were supposed to do, right? Isn't that the goal of life? In Christ, the goals change. But don't think that it doesn't take hard work for your brain and your heart and your soul to understand the change and to live in it. I'll be honest. It's still hard every day to put my focus in God. There's so many distractions. But I ask that you would help me so that I can help you, so that together we can take the time to wait and pray and prepare. Because God has something big in store for us, but we have to be ready for it in order to grab it. Let's pray. Lord God, you've called your church to prepare for the coming of your Holy Spirit. Even after your crucifixion and resurrection, it took another 50 days for your Holy Spirit to embody and surround the church. It took patience and prayer and preparation. The apostles walked with you, they talked with you, they shared with you, they shared with each other. They dealt with the difficulties every day of waiting. Their wounds were healed. Their infirmities were taken care of, and they grew strong in your presence. Lord God, when we're wounded, we often want to run away. We want to go to sleep and wake up and have everything change. Help us to be patient, to address you, to pray, to fast, to prepare every day so that we might be strong by your Spirit, so that we might be obedient in your tasks, so that we might be transformed by your love. Be present in this church and help us as we wait upon the Lord to live for you. And we pray it in the name of the Father and the Son, and on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit.